The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Proverbs 14:8. Hi, I'm Rob West. When it comes to saving, spending, and talking about money, our God-given temperament plays a bigger role than we think. Today, Kathleen Edelman shares how understanding your wiring can lead to better financial decisions and healthier money conversations. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is my friend Kathleen Edelman, author of I Said This, You Heard That, How Your Wiring Colors Your Communication. Kathleen is passionate about equipping God's people to speak with kindness, and that begins by helping them understand how God uniquely designed them. Kathleen, always a joy to have you here.
Thanks so much. I'm so glad to be back.
Kathleen, in your recent article for Faithful Steward, our magazine, you explore how our temperament impacts both the way we make financial decisions and how we communicate about money. But I want to back up for a moment. For those new to this idea, explain what temperament is and how it's different from personality.
Well, temperament was studied by Hippocrates 2,000 years ago, 600 years before Jesus walked the earth. And what he studied was how people naturally responded in different situations.
Yeah.
So what we found out over the course of these 2,000 years is that it really hasn't changed. It's innate. It's unchangeable. God designed you that way. Personality, on the other hand, is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. It's like your culture, your education, your family dynamic, your birth order. Mm. Whereas temperaments like your eye color, your fingerprint, unchangeable.
Wow, fascinating. Yeah, so understanding our wiring via temperament is going to affect everything about how we relate to others and serve and love them well and communicate. But it, of course, affects how we manage money. So, Kathleen, give us a picture of what that looks like in everyday financial decisions.
Each temperament is going to respond differently to each part: budgeting, spending, savings. For example, yellows, the temperament of yellows, they love and enjoy spending gifts socially.
Yeah.
They really don't like a lot of guardrails, if you want to say it that way. So they don't like constraints on that kind of thing. Reds, because they're visionaries, they like achieving something. Like, they want to see quick results. They can see something, and they can budget for it, and they can save for it, and they can help others do the same thing because of that. Blues, this is a safety thing. They're the what-ifs people. So they want detailed plans. They want to do things without having to feel stressed or worried about doing it. The greens, this is a peaceful, stable person. So they're going to want to do things that are no-stress financial systems. They're not going to be so much in the savings part unless they see a budget that can be consistently and easily done. But again, if somebody else pushes back, you know, where they may struggle is saying yes and putting off that budget. So each temperament is going to see from the core of their being each of those budgeting, spending, and savings differently.
Interesting. We've got about a minute left until our first break. Perhaps we should unpack these even just a bit more. So let's just spend a few moments here on the yellow.
Okay.
How would somebody know they're a yellow? And then what uniquely applies for the money conversation?
If you are a yellow, you are in the moment. You see the best in people first. You can inspire and encourage. At the same time, you can be a little bit too much, interrupt, you know, have a tendency to move on too quickly. That's going to be in a financial world. See money as fun.
Yes.
Not maybe take it seriously enough. Overspend to seek approval or make it fun because of you're in the moment. And what that might cause is avoiding serious talks about money in fear that you might make somebody in the family upset or lose a relationship because they're all about connection.
I love it. So yellows speak the language of people and fun, and that clearly has implications on their money decisions. Well, when we come back from this break, Kathleen's going to unpack blue, green, and red, and then we'll talk about how you communicate with other colors. Kathleen Edelman's here today. She's the author of I Said This, You Heard That, Buy It Wherever You Buy Books. Back with more right after this. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. On this day in church history, the Far East Broadcasting Company, an organization close to my heart, had their first radio broadcast in Manila, Philippines. And the first sounds heard over those airwaves were the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And what a great song to begin with, sharing the gospel with people who overwhelmingly had not yet heard it. And it puts into song the teaching of Hebrews 1:3, that after Jesus had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Truly, he is worthy of all praise and honor, and that's why we're motivated to share his name and fame with the whole world. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Kathleen Edelman. She's the author of I Said This, You Heard That, How Your Wiring Colors Your Communication. This is a temperament assessment. Kathleen's been doing this for decades. I'd love for you to explain that because it's really about helping people live out their temperament and love others through their communication, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I mean, we are wired to speak and hear out of our temperament.
Yes.
So if we can learn to just pair what I call paradigm shifting.
Yes.
I don't want you to become a different temperament. You're yellow, I'm blue, but I know that now.
Yes.
So I just have to take off my blue glasses and put on yellow glasses and speak yellow
yes.
to love you better as my friend.
Isn't that great? Well, Kathleen is a good friend. She's very generous with her time here. And we take all of the work that she does here at Faith and Finance and apply it to the money conversation, which we were just talking during the break. She's giddy about because this is one of those just natural expressions or applications of her work in a really important area of our lives. And in this quarter's issue of Faithful Steward, she did an article for us, a feature on how how your temperament affects your money mindset. Kathleen, before the break, we talked about the yellow, the person who really is driven by people and fun and what that means for our money. Let's move to the blue, which, going back to Hippocrates, is the melancholic temperament, right?
Right, right. And that is me. And so what we had said earlier, my first innate need is safety. So when I think of money, I'm going to have details, but I'm going to have that emergency fund. I'm going to have a safety net. It's going to be methodical. It's going to be cautious. And I'm going to need to have a plan.
Yeah. Well, and that's key, because if your spouse mm-hmm. or somebody you know is that, that's going to affect how you communicate. But this idea of I need a plan, I'm going to think safety when I approach my money is a big idea. All right. Green is what's called phlegmatic.
Right. So the green is easygoing. This would be my husband. They avoid conflict and they don't want any financial stress. So what they're looking for is consistency, something that's low maintenance, predictable, easy to maintain, right? So again, where there might be a pitfall, and I see this a lot, is leaving that to say yes because there's some kind of conflict. So we have to make sure that that person has time to think about it and make sure this person has great opinions and ideas, but they have to do it in their own time frame.
Yes. All right. That's a big idea if you have a green in your life or that's you. All right. The final one is choleric, and that's red.
Right. The choleric is the visionary. This is a person that's going to get it done. So their money vision is going to be goal-driven, confident. It's going to be efficient, but it can be very impulsive. So what we have to do there is make sure that they're not, you know, they're taking other people's ideas into consideration.
Yes.
And they're just not running the show.
So, Kathleen, we've said this is important for communication. Let's talk about that. Why is it so valuable to understand both your own temperament, but also someone else's when you're talking about money?
Well, let's even talk about that. You cannot give what you don't have. So you have to have knowledge of your own temperament first. Acceptance, awareness, application, authenticity. So I have to know what my language is in order to be able to speak yours.
Yes.
So that's what I'm talking about. I have to be able to know how to speak yellow so that you feel heard and understood. What you have to understand about communication is most miscommunication is not intentional. What it is I'm speaking blue and you're hearing yellow.
I see. Yep.
And then that's when you hear, that's not what I meant.
Right.
That's not what I said. You know, you're not hearing me or you're not listening. When really it's just we're speaking literally different languages.
Yes.
So if we will just take the time to do what I said, paradigm shift, learn the languages, we reduce that gray area. And then those questions go away.
So let's give some examples to that. So a yellow, which is what I am, I speak the language of people and fun. I'm more extroverted, certainly people-oriented, and I'm talking to a blue.
Yeah.
And describe that blue for a moment.
So the blue speaks the language of perfection and order.
Okay.
Right? So there's somebody who does want safety and a sensitivity, meaning to be understood. So there's not a lot of gray area with a blue. It's right or wrong.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's that simple.
Yes.
So it's direct, but not direct in a way of a red. So you have to respect their structure, their strategy, the fact that they want to think about it. Remember, they're an introvert, too. They're an introvert that, and when you're talking about communication, that means they're a processor.
Yes.
I have to process what you tell me.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say something to me, I have to think about it.
Right.
I think before I talk, you talk before you think.
Yeah, and I love to use money for experiences. Mm-hmm. I love it to deepen relationships. And I'm a little quicker to make that decision. Let's just do this spontaneously.
Right.
And that blue needs to process that.
So what you might say to me is, hey, Kathleen, I know details matter to you. Can we sit down together and make a plan that gives us both a vision with a little room for fun? I completely heard what you said.
Yes. I love that. All right. Let's do this again. This is great. What about a red to a green?
What I would suggest, a red speaks the language of power and control. A green speaks the language of calm and harmony. So a red might say something like, hey, I'd love us to make a simple plan together so that we both feel secure. We don't want to stress about it later, and we can talk it through at your pace.
Boy, that's
that
so
green's going to come to the table.
Yeah.
You know,
I love this because, you know, when we stop and appreciate somebody else's temperament, it says, I care about you. Mm-hmm. It changes the whole dynamic of the conversation.
Yeah, because if that red would have said, hey, we got to talk about finances right now. We got to do it right now. Sit down. Let's talk about it. Which is if a red said that to another red, there would be no issue.
Yes.
But if a red said that to a green or a blue, they would both push back.
Yes.
You know, they would be, the stress level would go up through the roof.
I love it. Kathleen, if somebody sees their own temperament and what you've described, what's a helpful next step they can take to grow in both self-awareness, but also financial stewardship?
Well, like we mentioned before, you have to know your own design by God first. Yeah. So I would highly suggest you go through, I Said This, You Heard That workbook, the new 2025 edition, and there's activities in there. There's a, I have a tendency to, but I'm going to choose. That's going to keep you in your strengths. Yes. Because as humans, we have a tendency to live out of our weaknesses. Then your innate needs, which is the game changer. It what separates me from every personality assessment out there. And then if there's conflict and you have to revisit, I'm all about the revisit.
Yes.
Then that's like, you know, hey, what part did I play? And what could I have said or done differently? So it helps in those six sessions for you to manage and understand and become fluent, not only in your temperament and your language, but the other languages, which then gives grace when you're speaking to the person in front of you.
That's so good. Well, not only will it improve communication, but it will really deepen your relationships and even your spiritual growth. Well, folks, unfortunately, we're out of time today, but Kathleen, is the new edition of I Said This, You Heard That available right now?
It is available right now.
All right. Wherever you buy books, pick up the 2025 edition, I Said This, You Heard That, How Your Wiring Colors Your Communication. Thanks for your time. We're going to have you back real soon.
Thank you.
All right. That's Kathleen Edelman, temperaments expert and great friend here at Faith and Finance. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? Well, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. When you look at the scope of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see a lot of recurring themes. One of those is the concept of abundance. Now, the dictionary defines abundance as the condition of being in rich supply. Who wouldn't want to be in God's rich supply? Unfortunately, time after time in Scripture, we read of God's people rejecting His abundance and running after worldly pleasures or selfish desires instead. From the beginning, God's plan was for His creation to experience abundance. God created Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Well, later, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. Over time, God's people got complacent and rebellious. We read this, you know, over and over in the Old Testament. They were worshiping pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over, and as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin, that seems to be the story of our time as well, doesn't it? Finally, God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment in Christ, who says that in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross, taking our sin, disobedience, and shame on Himself. His resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. Now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, of course, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised His followers that He would return in glory. In John 14:3, He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Christians look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately to eternal blessings in heaven. Now, in Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." The psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. Now, that's the good news. You see, whether or not you've read through the whole Bible, you can still experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. In Christ, we can all experience God's love, His amazing grace, His complete peace, and the hope of heaven. Our gratitude for these blessings should stimulate our praise and our desire to serve and help others too. So I hope maybe today you reflect just a bit on God's gift of abundance as you think about it, search the Scriptures, and live in the reality of it. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We're going to head to New York State first and welcome Joyce. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. So here's my question. I am in my 50s and I am wanting to buy a house. I have money saved for a down payment. But I'm thinking two things. One, should I continue to save for a larger down payment toward the house, or should I buy with the down payment I have now? And the second part is, should I do want to have a mortgage that's a little shorter, or do I take a longer mortgage?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my question.
Okay. Yeah, those are great questions. So let's tackle that first one right up front here, and that is, do you continue to save and wait for that, you know, perhaps a little larger home, or do you go ahead and buy something now that's a starter home? You know, I like, as long as you keep the home purchase, you know, in the range of what fits in your budget. So typically that means no more than 25% of your take-home pay going toward principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, the payment, and where you have at least 20% down. I kind of like the idea of you getting into a home, you know, something that can start appreciating. As long as you buy something that you feel like you can stay in for 5 to 7 years, then I think that makes, you know, it worth it. If you're saying, no, this home that I could afford right now, you know, I feel like within 2 to 3 years, I'd be ready, kind of itching for something larger, then I would say, yeah, let's wait, because the cost of the buying and the selling, the transaction, not to mention the cost to originate the mortgage, is going to be prohibitive. But if you can stay 5 to 7 years, I kind of like you getting into the housing market and starting to take advantage of the appreciation. And then maybe when you're ready for that next home, rates are lower and you kind of, you know, roll into that next mortgage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the second part of your question, remind me real quick.
The second part is, I really don't want to do a lengthy mortgage. I'd rather get it done with as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But I also realize I'm 54 years old, and so I don't know what kind of timeline I'm looking at there.
So there's a couple of options there. I appreciate you reminding me of that. So I would agree with you. Take as short a mortgage as possible. Now, one strategy some people will do is they'll go ahead and get the 30-year mortgage and pay a little bit more in interest, a higher rate, but pay it like it's a 15. So get the amortization schedule and send the payment as if it's a 15-year payback or a 20-year, whatever you can afford. The nice thing is, because it's a true 30-year, if you lost your job or you had some, you know, unexpected expense come out, you could fall back to that lower 30-year payment. But by, you know, paying it as if it's 15 or 20, assuming you have the income to do it, then, you know, you're going to get rid of it much sooner, if that makes sense. Do you follow?
Yep, I get it. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Joyce. God bless you. Well, folks, just a quick reminder, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions lined up in advance. Hey, before we head into this next break, let me remind you that Faith and Finance is listener supported. That means we rely on your generous support to do everything we do on the airwaves, through our coaches and counselors, through our certified Kingdom advisors, and even in the FaithFi app. So if you'd consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. You can make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com and click the give button. Back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust? Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the content button. Also, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app that can help you manage God's money and access all of this great content on the go. Just click the app tabs. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. Let's see. We'll head to Plymouth, New Hampshire, and welcome Barbara. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob.
Hi there.
Question. My senior mother, she's in her 90s, but she's in good health, thankfully. She is going to be selling her house. She's owned it for over 30 years. It looks like she may be going over the $250,000 exemption for gains. And my question is, if she goes over it, say by $20,000, what happens there? How does that work out? And the other question is, how soon after the sale does she have to deal with this?
Yeah, got it. Great question, Barbara. So first of all, your mother would report the sale of her home if she sold it this year on her 2025 federal tax return if she has taxable capital gains. So that is profit exceeding the exclusion, which you just referred to. So that would be the filing deadline, which would be April 15th, 2026 for 2025. And that would be, you know, when she would need to do that. If she, receives a Form 1099-S, she would have to report the sale even if the gain is fully excluded, but it would be on her 2025 return. Now, if she goes above the $250,000 of gains on a primary residence where she's lived there two out of the last 5 years and she's single, not married, filing jointly, then it would be added to her taxable income. Which, if that threshold for a single filer goes above $48,000, and that's not only your adjusted gross income, but your gain is included in that number, which is where most people fall. If it's between $48,300 and $533,000, then whatever that gain is that goes above the $250,000 threshold would be taxed at a 15% long-term capital gain.
Okay. It's 15%. Anything above, okay.
As, lo- Yeah, if she tips, if it's under $48,350, her combined income or taxable income, so her adjusted gross income minus standard or itemized deductions, but with the gain included, if it's above $48,000, then she's in that 15% bracket. If she goes over $533,000, it's going to be up at 20%.
Well, as far as I know, she hasn't filed an income tax because she's on Social Security, and she gets a little bit of a pension from my dad, his local union. She's been getting that for about 10 years, but that's been under like $700 a month. So she hasn't even been filing an income tax.
Okay, yeah. But this would be the year where she would need to look at that because, again, you know, it's based on her taxable income. And so, you know, that would be really important if she knows she has a gain beyond the exclusion. You know, the pension and Social Security income are included in that, you know, taxable income. But the extent just depends on specific rules around that. So this would probably be a good year for her to get a CPA or accountant to help.
Okay. And last question, she's been offered different ways to receive the money for the house, either a direct deposit, a check, and there was something else. Does it really matter how she receives the money from the sale?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, okay, typically it would happen electronically through the closing agent. You know, it would normally go to an escrow account, whoever that closing agent is, and then they would either cut a check or do an electronic transfer. It really doesn't matter in what manner she receives it.
Okay. The last question is, I was wondering, should she at least throw some of this money into, you know, a high yield savings or, you know, something like that? If she's 91.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think once she has the proceeds, then she needs to take a step back and just say, you know, what are my values and my priorities? What is my financial position? I mean, I think from a financial standpoint, you know, making sure she has, you know, at least six, you know, in this season of life, maybe as much as 12 months in reserves. And that I would put in a high yield FDIC insured savings account. Beyond that, if, you know, if she ends up with more than that, I think then that's an opportunity to say, okay, should we bring an advisor into the mix that could help her manage this, minimizing risk, given her age, but also, you know, outpacing inflation and trying to grow it while protecting it at the same time. I mean, all those things could be in play, but yes, immediately getting it earning interest in an FDIC insured account would be the first order of business as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and at least 12 months in reserve should be going into that high-yield savings?
I mean, I think somewhere between 6 and 12 months is probably, you know, the right range, and the ultimate amount is really dependent upon just her comfort level, what's going to give her peace of mind, what other potential, you know, financial needs she's going to have now or in the future. You know, a lot of that will play into how much she ultimately wants to have liquid.
Okay. Her last concern is evidently they used to go to, when my dad was alive, they used to go to an H&R Block to do their taxes. And they said, you two are on Social Security. We don't even need to see you guys anymore because, you know, you don't even earn enough. My dad has been gone for like 12 years. And like I said, she's been on her Social Security and that small pension from my dad. She didn't think she had to file any income tax, so she hasn't filed any. So, I mean, could this bite her?
No, not. I mean, the only question would just be whether or not she did, in fact, have enough income that she needed to file. You know, as long as you don't owe anything, there's not a requirement to file. If she falls under that threshold, I think the question is just, you know, when you look at income beyond Social Security, if she gets above those thresholds, certain percentages of her Social Security can be taxable. But, you know, if she had very little in the way of income, it may be absolutely true that that was not necessary. So the only way to know for sure would be just to, you know, connect with a CPA, perhaps at the same time that you're dealing with the calculation on the capital gains, you know, perhaps just do a quick review of the income she received in the prior years, and they could probably quickly say, nope, that was absolutely right, not needed, or, yeah, we need to go back and file some of those returns just to get in compliance.
Right, okay. All right, Rob, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it, Barbara. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment. But let me remind you, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in. But we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, here at Faith and Finance, it's all about understanding the heart of God in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. It's a game changer when we understand that as our starting point. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go right back to the phones to Florida. Beth, go right ahead. How can I help?
Hi. I would like to send a charitable donation to my church directly from my IRA.
Okay.
And I have the forms, the RMD forms. When I looked at them, I'm like, I don't understand them. I don't know what to do by myself. I don't want to make a mistake.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I don't know who to ask.
Okay. Well, it's not terribly difficult in terms of making the contribution. I can give you the steps to use what's called the qualified charitable distribution. And then, you know, if you do your own taxes, you would report it appropriately on your taxes when you file your 2025 taxes next year, or you could get a CPA or accountant to help you with that. But in terms of making the qualified charitable distribution that also satisfies your required minimum that you probably received on a form from your custodian that tells you the amount that you need to take out, you would basically, first of all, make sure you're eligible for the qualified charitable distribution. You have to be 70 and a half or older. And so I assume because you have an RMD, you are. And then once you confirm your eligibility, you would make sure you know what that required minimum amount is. And so that should be on that form that you got from your IRA custodian. Whoever sends you your statements probably sent you a form that told you what that required minimum is based on the IRS's life expectancy table and the required minimum calculation. Then you would contact your custodian and tell them that you'd like to do a qualified charitable distribution. They may have an online a form, or you could request a paper form. But it would mean that you need to give them your charity's legal name, the mailing address, and the EIN number, which the charity or your church can give you, wherever you want this to go. And then you'll specify the amount, which, you know, could be the full required minimum distribution amount, or it could be some amount higher than that. And then you'll request from your custodian, when you submit that form online or the paper form, they'll do the direct transfer to the charity's account, or they'll send a check. And as long as you, you know, get that done before the end of this year, that will count toward your 2025 required minimum. And then when you file your 2025 taxes, you'll report the distribution, but then you'll also report that it was a qualified charitable distribution on line 4B, and then that will offset it. So it will actually exclude it from your taxable income, which is the real benefit of the qualified charitable distribution. So let me recap. You've got the amount. You need to call your custodian, whoever sent you that form, and say, I want to do a qualified charitable distribution. You can do it over the phone, online, or a paper. You give them the charity's name, EIN, mailing address. They'll get the money sent. They'll give you a 1099 reflecting that, and then you'll just report it on your taxes when you file next year. Does that make sense?
That all makes sense, but I have the forms in front of me, and I'm having trouble filling them out properly. That's
my apologies. Yeah, no, I get that. Okay, so I thought it was just the RMD form, and you hadn't yet contacted them about the QCD. Okay, so you've got a couple of options there. One would be you could, you know, I'd suggest you just call and get somebody from the customer support line on the phone from your custodian, whoever sent you the form, and just say, I need you to walk me through this step by step. And, you know, as long as you have the information handy that I mentioned, which is the name of the charity, their EIN number, and their mailing address, that and the required minimum distribution amount that you need to send for this year. And if you don't know it, the custodian should be able to give it to you. With that information, they should be able to tell you how to fill out that form. If all else fails, you could, if there's a local branch, you could go in and sit with somebody face to face. If not, you could, you know, contact a certified Kingdom advisor and ask them just to, you know, help you with an hour of their time to walk you through it. But I'd probably start with the custodian. Have you attempted that yet?
No, but that's a good idea.
Okay. They do this all the time, and they should, as long as you have the information for your charity, they should be able to walk you through it step by step, and I'm sure they'd be happy to do it. If that doesn't work, though, Beth, you call me back, all right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Doyle. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, okay. So I'm trying to pull out some equity out of my house, and I'm wondering, what do you think of a HELOC or an HEI?
Yeah, so I normally like the home equity loan with the fixed rate, but in this environment where rates are elevated, we don't see them going much higher, and we think the long-term trend is down, I kind of like the home equity line of credit, because with that variable rate, you're going to see that rate fall as interest rates fall. Now, the key will be, once it falls enough, you know, are you close to paying it off? Great, ride it out. If not, you know, you could consider refinancing it and locking it in. But I think, just given where rates are, the home equity line of credit makes sense. Now, the nice thing about the home equity line of credit, if you're looking to do renovations, is you don't, you know, you'd only pull the money as you need it. So you're not paying interest on it because you got a big check at closing, when you may spend it over a 12-month period of time. So that's one of the upsides. The downside is, it's a line and it's available and it can be tempting. So you just don't want to tap into that home equity, you know, without being really thoughtful about why you're pulling it out. And I would probably, if it were me, limit it only to home renovations, not, you know, trips and things like that, just because the goal is for you to get out of debt, not just continue to add to your, you know, your home loan. But is that helpful?
Yes, that's what my wife and I are trying to do.
Okay, good. So is it renovations that you're doing, Doyle?
Yes, and paying off some things on our credit report.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would encourage you not to do that just because you're taking what's unsecured and now you're securing it to your house. And so if something happens and you can't, you know, make that payment, you're, you know, putting your house in jeopardy. Not only that, but I realize the interest rate may be high on some of the stuff you're trying to clean up, but you're also now, you know, paying this over a much longer payback period with the HELOC. So if it were me, I would try to limit the HELOC to things that are actually going to add value to the home and will ultimately appreciate in value. I would not use it to pay consumer debt just because for the reasons I mentioned, I really don't want that attached to your house. So for that portion, I would probably either just kind of dial back your lifestyle and try to pay out a current cash flow. Or if it's credit card debt, use something like a debt management program with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, where they can leave it right where it is with the existing creditors and get the interest rate down. I'd try to stay away from that HELOC. But for renovations and things that will improve the value of your home, that would be the way to go. Hopefully that helps. We appreciate your call, sir. Call anytime. To Park Ridge, Illinois. Hi, Angie. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I am calling regarding a large cash property inheritance I've just received, and this is all new to me. I need help. I guess what your suggestion would be so as not to be taxed. So,
well, there is no federal inheritance tax paid by beneficiaries, which would be what you are. So if you're the one receiving the inheritance, there is no federal inheritance tax. It's possible the estate that, you know, where the person passed away may owe federal estate taxes prior to you getting the money, but that wouldn't be you. That would be the estate. And that would only be if the estate was valued at more than $13 million per person. But regardless, there is no federal inheritance tax on you as the beneficiary receiving the inheritance. Now, six states do have an inheritance tax: Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Nebraska, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, but not Illinois. So you shouldn't have any taxes on this.
I recently, last year, when I filed my income taxes, I filed independently to kind of hash out where I was, and that inheritance was around $150,000. I ended up paying something like $18,000 in taxes.
Yeah, I'd be a little confused about that. I mean, the only time you have taxes triggered would related to an inheritance would be if it's an asset that appreciates after you receive it. Because right now, inherited assets like stocks and real estate get a step up in basis to the fair market value as of the date of death. So if you sell it right away, there's no capital gains tax. And again, there is no federal inheritance tax that's paid by beneficiaries, which is what you would be. So, you know, maybe there's some element of this that I'm, you know, not aware of in terms of what's going on in your situation. But you shouldn't have paid tax just by virtue of you receiving an inheritance because there is no such thing.
Okay. Thank you so much. I will call the accountant that did the taxes. Have a wonderful day. God bless.
All right. You too, Angie. Thanks for your call. Let's finish in Nashville today. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
How you doing today, Rob?
Good. Thank you.
I have a question for you. Me and my wife, we paid off our house in October 2024. And I feel like there's something else that we need to do. Do we need to present our deed and our title, have it in hand? Because I've been hearing about this title insurance fraud thing that's been going on. People been stealing your identity and getting loans out in your home.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, there is title monitoring. So there's something called Home Title Lock, which is a little bit of a misnomer. It's a monthly subscription between $20 and $30 where they'll monitor your county's records for unauthorized changes. You can do that yourself. And in fact, most counties now offer an automated alert if you set it up. So I'd probably go to your county recorder's office's website and just see if they have the alert that you can set up on your deed. So if something changes, they'll let you know. Hey, congrats on paying off that loan, Eric. Thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.